19XM 201, and our coverage, I'll mention too, has sponsored all the Breeders' Cup lead up and the recapping next week, and we're inching closer, of course, to the Oaklawn season, hard to believe, and we'll actually got Hammer coming up in the next probably 35 minutes with Jimmy Ventura. I also want to thank, of course, Keeneland and the Breeders' Cup. Always a pleasure. This is our second trip, and we'll be back here in 2 years as well. Right now, we'll turn to the start of hour two. Jay Pribman's going to join us in about 15 minutes. Right now, James Scully, James_Scully111 on Twitter. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Happy Breeders' Cup.
James, I appreciate it. Let's dive right in. And before we talk Saturday, I'm kind of focused on Saturday with everybody because so many people listen later in the day for podcast, etc., and archive. Quick rundown your bankers for Friday.
Well, I'm going to build like some big three tickets around Golden Pal, who's going to be the favorite in the juvenile turf sprint, and around Simply Ravishing in the juvenile fillies. She would be my play of the day, you know, from a value perspective. I like her chances in there from the rail with Luis Saez. As far as the turf races go, you know, I didn't really have a good feel for the juvenile turf. You know, I used a bunch in there, including Cadillacing and also in the juvenile fillies turf, you know, same thing. I spread in there with several, but I did like Aunt Pearl. I just thought she was special when I saw her, run on Derby Week. Loved her win in the Jessamine over the course. Don't think she has to be on the lead, but there's a good chance that she'll just go right to the front and try to, you know, take them wire to wire in the juvenile fillies turf.
What else?
I really just think it's a two-horse race for the win. I mean, I look at it with both, you know, Jackie's Warrior. I'm not too concerned about the mile and the 16th distance. If he does falter, I think the horse has the best chance of beating him. It's Essential Quality. Perhaps you could take a stand with some price horses underneath either horse if you like one or the other. But I didn't see a lot of potential for an upset in the juveniles, Steve.
I do want to ask you one question that I forgot to ask Marty and Ed. Who do you like in the Bryan Station today, the third race?
I like Fighting Seabee for Kenny McPeak. Now, both Mike Minker horses look very dangerous, Fancy Liquor especially, but even Don Juan Kitt looks pretty good to me. But Fighting Seabee, to me, I mean, I look at his form. You know, he won his first two races, including that With Anticipation. He was way too far back in that Bourbon, came flying late. And then he switched him to the main track, and after that jockey club, you know, he was gone, out of sight. I mean, he's still better on the turf. And I think he was well meant coming back on October 22nd. I thought that was an absolutely brutal trip. And, you know, if it had taken anything out of him, he wouldn't be wheeling back on 14 days rest. I expect him, he'll have to improve to win it, but I expect him to move forward off that effort and to be a quality turf stakes horse going forward for Kenny McPeak.
I bring it up because it's really a terrific race today, and I thought it was as compelling. Not, you know, obviously we're focused on the cup races. I ended up picking No Word, and the price in there that really kind of jumped off the page at me was Spanish Kingdom. 15 to 1, and then, you know, you're going to get 8 to 1 at least morning line, and I don't there's too many interesting horses in a 14 horse field. I thought, you know, reconvene and pixelate 8 to 1 each. This is a race that if you hadn't really thought about early action, you really should give this race a look. Very, very entertaining, and might be a chance for an early score. Let's turn to Saturday. James Scully with us. James, where is your analysis and your, the kind of the couplet stuff that you've done? Typically pick five plays and so forth. Where, is it at the
Twinspires
blog?
Yes, it's at the Twinspires blog. I've got some price plays. You can just go and search me by author. I've got a couple price plays on the undercard, some price plays for the whole cup. I did a Friday Breeders' Cup betting blog that was up there. I'll have my Saturday blog up here soon. And I did a thing on the best single in the Breeders' Cup which I'll get to here later, which is Monomoy Girl. So I have all that stuff up at Twin Spires blog, and be recapping the races as well for Bristnet this weekend.
Outstanding. I'll send the link out to it as well after we get off the air. Quickly, through Saturday, let's dive into it.
Yeah, I think in the Philly Mare Sprint, I think that the pace is going to be extremely hot. I'm a little worried about Serengeti Empress coming off that defeat at Churchill. I'm using two closers. I'm going to bet Sconson to win at big odds. I think she's sitting on a big race. I love horses that come along late like she has. Saw Shamrock Rose do it 2 years ago and win the Philly Mare Sprint. And then I'll use Bells to one. If somebody else wins that race, I'll be out of the multi-race sequences there. Go into the turf sprint, Steve?
Yep.
Oh, that's one of the most contentious races. I mean, really tough. Leinster, I picked second. You know, I respect his chances, completely. But Extravagant Kid is a horse that has drawn the rail in his last three turf sprints at Keeneland. He was shuffled back twice, and another time there, he got absolutely blocked in the stretch. He has run well in all four of his turf starts at Keeneland without winning. I was hoping he would draw outside. He got post 14. I'm going to give him an edge, but I'll still go about six deep in there for multi-race tickets, Steve.
Excellent. And glad you brought up Brendan Walsh and Extravagant Kid. I think he, like Tom's d'Etat, he's also seven, I believe. So chances for two veteran horses on the afternoon. The start of the middle pick four. There's pick fours today, middle pick four, and tomorrow the middle pick four is races 6, 7, 8, and 9 that you should be aware of. So it starts with the Dirt Mile and then the Filly and Mare Turf, the Sprint, and the Breeders' Cup Mile. And this is actually, that's actually a very attractive sequence. You might be able to maybe tiptoe in a spot or two, maybe lean on Rushing Fall, and then build, with some of the, more challenging races, including, of course, the Mile. Probably the Sprint might be a place to lean. Give us a pick four in there, James. Go through those four races.
The last four races?
Not the last four, no, the middle pick four. The Dirt Mile.
The middle pick four, yeah.
Who would you use on a pick four ticket?
I'm going to use the four and the five. I think War of Will, I've been intrigued by him for weeks. He's trained so fantastically on the dirt at Churchill for months. Looks like to me, he's fit and sitting on a big race, and he can get the trip with the tactical speed right behind the pace setter. But the pace setter is the other horse I'm going to use, the probable favorite, number five, Nick Go. I mean, you just can't discount that last race at Keeneland. I think he's going to run well, and he's got the right rider in Joel Rosario. So I hope War of Will could sit close and pounce on him. But either way, those are the two horses I want in the Dirt Mile, Steve, War of Will and Nick Go.
Second leg of the middle pick four, and also the start of the pick six, and it's a force out. The pick six, must pay tomorrow. So starting race 7 through the 12th, and second leg of the middle pick four, what are we doing in the Filly and Mare Turf?
Well, in the Filly and Mare Turf, I really thought that, I like Rushing Fall. I mean, she loves Keeneland. It just looks like to me that this is like the race that Chad Brown's been pointing to her for all year. Now, a little bit of a distance concern, but I saw O'Day at the Spa get a mile and a quarter at Santa Anita, and she didn't have a prayer going 10 furlongs the year before. She was a true, miler. So I think Rushing Fall is going to get the trip. I don't think she'll be on the lead, but she'll be up close. I'm going to give her the edge. The two horses I want to throw in, Steve, are number three, Peaceful. I think that three-year-old filly last time, was just caught in a bog, and I think she's eligible to run big for Aiden O'Brien. And then I will use the horse you referenced earlier, Cayenne Pepper. Our international expert, Kelly Riley, likes this three-year-old filly, and so I'm going to use both Peaceful and Cayenne Pepper with Rushing Fall. Rushing Fall is my top pick.
Third leg of the middle pick four, the Sprint, and of course the loss of Vekoma kind of defaults this to a couple of major candidates. Yoppin, a bit of the now Philly, not Philly, the now Sprint, Sprinter, and Diamond Oops. I'm getting a lot of Diamond Oops. It seems like Frank's Roquette is going to end up getting a lot of added attention and play with the departure of Vekoma.
I, I can see going five deep in here and using Yapon and Diamond Oops, but I'm more like inclined to try to beat them where I'm just like, hey, Diamond Oops, I'm worried about like him just holding his form and even taking a little step forward off of that last race. And Yapon, I'm worried about his seasoning and trip, et cetera, et cetera. I look at the race and I didn't like him at first earlier in the week, last week when I was handicapping as much, but the more I look at it, the more I'm like, I'm really worried about CZ Rocket there in post two. I think he's poised to run a good race. I will use Frank's Roquette on all my tickets. I agree. 6 furlongs. Looks like she's set. Another horse I won is Brent's Fire. I just thought that Bossberg, even though that was a very soft field, was a really sharp effort for him. Looks like he's sitting on a good race for Kelly Breen based on the way he's training. And, I'm going to try to build some tickets where I use those three, Frank's Roquette, Brent's Fire, and CZ Rocket. But I will throw I'd be willing to throw Yapon and Diamond Oops on tickets where, I get more coverage.
That gets us to the mile, which obviously ends up being a very key juncture of the day Saturday, because it's the anchor leg of that middle pick four. It's the start of the late pick four, and it may be top to bottom the most contentious race of the weekend.
Got a lot of horses that are drawn outside here. You just look starting in One Master, Holiday, Ivar, Uni, Factor This, Raging Bull. I hear people talking about them. I'm going the inside. I'm playing both European 3-year-olds that are classic winners. I went with Siskin on top and Kamiko in second. But I'm just going to, I'll probably be boxing them into bets and looking to key them on a couple of tickets alone. If I was to spread and use others, then, I'd be looking, of course, at some of the ones I mentioned. Even Circus Maximus, who looks like to me a horse that, the tight configurations in America perhaps have been an issue for him. But he ran fourth last year at Santa Anita. It's getting to be, old hat to him. I don't know if the... he'll have that much trouble getting a two-turn mile in the U.S. So, I'm going to lean on those three-year-olds being special and be sitting on a real big race. But once again, a very competitive edition of the mile.
And run down the late pick three, Distaff Turf Classic, James Scott.
Yeah, Distaff is my best bet of the day, in a sense. I'm going to single Monomoy Girl in all my tickets. I think she's sitting on go. I think she's been prepared perfectly. And she's relatively fresh, and fresh horses, fare well in the Distaff, as people know, follow it. And the Breeders' Cup Turf, really a, I wanted to make a case for Arklow, and I'm going to have him underneath, and, but I'm going to go with the Lord North in there and the filly, Tarnawa. I'm a little bit worried about that jock change, with losing Suminom with that Tarnawa, but I do think Lord North is a little intriguing to me. Frankie, I find it fascinating that Frankie Dettori will now have ridden in more Breeders' Cups than any jockey out there, breaking that tie with Mike Smith and Kent DeSormo. So, I look at him where, he doesn't like soft ground. He more than proved his class. He does have to go a mile and a half for the first time Lord North, but he's my top pick in them turfs, Steve.
And your classic.
Classic, I'm going to lean on Tis the Law and Tom Sitah. I think Tis the Law, to me, Tis the Law might not be too appealing from like a win bet perspective because he could get bet down, but I've seen too many horses, whether it's Skip Away, Louis Couture, Hansel didn't run a step at Churchill. I mean, even Easy Goer was losing to Is It True at Churchill Downs. I've seen too many horses don't like that track, don't run their A race, but they come right back and run their A race the next race. I think Tis the Law is that kind of horse where he just doesn't like Churchill Downs. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's wet or fast. He's not the same horse there. It looks like Barclay Tack got him back on course. I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to look for him to run his race on Saturday. I'll echo what Ed and others have said about Tom Sitah as well. He looks like another horse that's like a rebound candidate in a sense. And unlike Tis the Law, Tom Sitah loves Keeneland or has proven himself at Keeneland. So I'm 2-4 are my key horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic, Steve.
Outstanding. James, best of luck later today and tomorrow, of course. And we'll get back at it during the week. And I do want to mention, I'll take the opportunity, and probably I'll come up with Dave Grenig too in a little bit, but Naira and Churchill have crafted cross-country pick fives daily through the next, I think, 3 weeks. And so each day when both are running, there's going to be a cross-country pick five. And we're going to handicap a lot of it regularly. And with Naira Betts and Twin Spires working together on the broadcast, and probably rely on Ed and James plenty for those opinions. And did we lose James? I think we did. I think I heard a click. I was going to ask James for his football pick because he's been good. I think James is like, what is he like, 4-1? I think he's 4-1. So I'm sure his NFL stuff will be out there. Jay Privman is going to join us next, and you know, for somebody that couldn't be here, you wouldn't know it by the appearances of his byline, which. It's like a rash. It's everywhere. He's talking about the classic, the Dirt Mile, the Breeders' Cup, as the national correspondent for America's Turf Authority. Jay Privman, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for comparing me to a rash.
The byline is a rash. Well, I suppose
there have been a rash of bylines.
But bump. He'll be here all week, folks. Tip your servers. Jay, we obviously dealt last week with the circumstances. I thought you really put it beautifully, you know, to introduce our discussion, our visit. You really put it, you know, beautifully how the Breeders' Cup here, as we finish up this unusual year, really provides a nice anchor. And you know, there's plenty of racing that'll come the rest of November and December, but this has really been a coda to the season to look forward to.
And it's a good one. I mean, the quality of the horses that are at the Breeders' Cup is sensational. It was really heartening to see how strong the European participation was this year with all that's going on. So, you know, obviously the Classic came up great. It's a tremendous duel on offing in both the Filly and Mare Sprint and in the Distaff. So there's just, you know, a lot of really, you know, and then obviously the races today, but there's just a lot of really good stuff to look forward to. And you know, like I said in the story that you were alluding to, you know, one of the things that's been nice about this year to just sort of latch on to is that, you know, hockey and basketball and baseball all found ways to complete their seasons, you know, in an unusual way, but they still got it done, and there was the satisfaction of having champions crowned, and that's what the Breeders' Cup is going to provide for racing.
One of the people that I will mention out of that story, you talked to John Gosden, who, of course, had a turn out west. And I thought Gosden's kind of summary of where everything is, I thought was appropriate.
No, John. I mean, I've known John for a long time. I mean, he started his career out here, and I've, you know, covered when he had the likes of Bates Motel and Royal Heroine on him through until he went back to his native England in 89. And, you know, always enjoy seeing him, you know, when I do on the infrequent times now, but really enjoyed dealing with him. And I've told people over the years, he and Eddie Gregson are the top two for me in terms of, you know, quality of breadth of knowledge in terms of interviews on not only about racing, but just sort of being aware of the outside world as well, and you know, I always still enjoy talking to John very much.
I'm just looking down, and I'm noting, I can't believe it's 12 years since Ravens Pass, Dettori and Gosden won the Classic. As you were talking, I said, I'm thinking to myself, how long ago was that? And I'm stunned that it's that long ago.
Yeah, no, it just shows, though, you're right. I mean, it's 12 years ago, but, you know, look, that was in 08. You know, Enable was 2 years ago. Royal Heroine was back in 84. I mean, he's been a presence at the Breeders' Cup all these decades.
Yeah,
You know, it's and he's got some live shots this weekend.
Well, let's turn our attention to some of that. And, Jay, we'll start, do it sequentially, and talk about the first race that you've been covering. And there's a lot to consider in this dirt mile. And you introduced it by focusing on the configuration storyline and the one turn versus the two turn. And with Complexity and Knicks Go, you know, set up as you know, the favorites, there's real contrast. But you, as usual, found a nugget and a tidbit with these two horses that I think a lot of people forgot about.
Which is?
They're having run together in the juvenile.
Oh, in the Breeders' Cup, right. Yeah, right. 2 years ago in the juvenile. I mean, they were both in the juvenile that was won by Game Winner. And, you know, that was Complexity's only time around two turns. Obviously, he's unproven at two turns. He had a legitimate excuse that day. He came out of the race with buck shins and didn't run again for months. And, you know, Knicks Go that day was a giant price, and he's obviously going to be a much shorter price tomorrow if he makes his third start since moving to Brad Cox's barn and the second since coming off a layoff. And, you know, the thing I was trying to point out is that this is just a different kind of race depending on where it's run. You know, when it's run at a place like Churchill Downs, it's a one-turn mile, and a lot of times those are, you know, late running sprint types do well in that, and they don't really, in my opinion, when you've got a two turn kind of race. And you know, I really think Knicks Go, coming off that performance 5 weeks ago, is sitting on a big performance. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Complexity speed and his ability, but at a short price and unproven still around two turns, I just thought he was worth opposing. And you know, I think Sharp Samurai is very alive in here off of his big try in the Pacific Classic at a distance that's, I think, beyond optimum for him, and now he's back at a distance that's more suitable on dirt. You know, he ran a mile since then against Mo Forza, but in terms of being on dirt. So those are the ones that I focused on in that race.
I'll make two points. Since you brought up Sharp Samurai, I want to... who I think, you know, is going to be a little bit overlooked and glossed over. People are going to think, oh, the turf horse, you know, just trying something. But, of course, War of Will, similarly, you know, had a took an exit ramp off to the turf for a little bit. The horse I want to bring up, though, and, in fact, you could even use this as part of another piece that you wrote, Rushy is a completely forgotten horse here, Jay. And if we go back to the early Derby Trail season, there was real excitement about Rushy.
There was some excitement about Rushy, but he falls into something I was just alluding to moments ago, is the, you know, the one turn versus two turn. You know, in the Pat Day Mile, that to me was, you know, right up his alley, the way that race unfolded and with his style. And you know, he ran fine in the Bluegrass. But I don't know that was his best race. And now he's going to be going an eighth of a mile farther, or not an eighth of a mile, excuse me. He's been going back around two turns again. You know, he did run well enough at Keeneland that day to finish third, but I just think he's more effective laying back and blasting home around one turn. And, you know, this is a good field at the top. So I think he's going to be a higher price than he should be, to your point. I think that's accurate, but I think he might be better if this dirt mile was at Churchill Downs as opposed to going around two turns.
Excellent. And I do also want to mention one other aspect when it comes to the three-year-old scene. Obviously, a lot of the focus in the classic we're going to talk about next, but with Authentic and Tis the Law, but Art Collector, and feeling like I think he's being a little underappreciated, and the Bluegrass win, a pretty glaring positive on his resume.
Absolutely, and he drew well. He's going to be able to save ground from the rail, and like you said, he's returning to the scene of the biggest win of his career. You know, he didn't fire in the Preakness, but just having watched the tape of that race, he just never looked comfortable to me in terms of the way he was striding out, and also just where he ended up being positioned. He never really could get clear in there, and there was a point going down the backstretch when Swiss Skydiver made that move to go for the lead. The hole that opened up was there for both she and Art Collector, and she had a response, and Art Collector didn't. So I don't know, you know, maybe he just had an off day that day, and if he only had an off day that day, he can bounce back and certainly be a major player tomorrow. You know, the other thing is, has he just had a little, you know, a few too many miles on him this year, and is his form starting to tail off, and was that an indication of it? I mean, those are the two prisms, I think, through which to look at Art Collector, and, you know, regretfully, you won't know the answer to that till they run the race tomorrow. But, you know, if you're willing to, if you like him, I think you're going to get a fair price on him.
A good dirt mile, and a nice full field, and it didn't take away, this field did not take away at all from the sprint or the classic. And I want to thank a Twitter regular follower, Bob Gorski, points out, Jay, talking about that juvenile, that Mr. Money was in that field as well, and there's a horse running today, I think, Signalman, who was in that juvenile as well. So 2 years removed from the juvenile, we've got four 4-year-olds on display this weekend. Turn, Jay, to the classic. And you made the championship factors that you know are hanging over this race for, you know, so many different arenas. The 3-year-old, the elders, the handicap champion, and potentially horse of the year. And it's as good a classic as seemingly most people can remember in recent years.
Yeah, to me it ranks, the two best I've seen over the years were the one in 98 that was won by Awesome Again against a, you know, terrific field, and then the 2004, the edition that Ghost Zapper won, and you look at the quality of who was in that field, it's pretty spectacular. And this, to me, is right up there with the quality of the older horses that you have, and the likes of Tom's D'Etat and Maximum Security and Improbable, and By My Standards, who's probably about the most overlooked horse in the country with what he's accomplished this year. And then, you know, by the way, you've got the Derby and the Belmont winners in here, you know, both of whom are obviously in terrific form and look like they're ready to fire their best shots. So on paper, it's a great race. And like you said, I do think it has the potential to decide multiple Eclipse Awards.
Dive in, Jay, and build up to a selection, or work down from who you think wins.
Well, as good as the 3-year-olds are, and they're very good, I just think this is an exceptional group of older horses, and I think both Authentic and Tis the Law would have to run the race of their life to beat collectively Improbable and Maximum Security and Tom's D'Etat. That's a lot, I think, to ask of them, but obviously, Authentic is a horse who's surprised me. I was skeptical, as everybody knows, about his ability to handle a mile and a quarter earlier this year, and he certainly proved me wrong in the Derby. And he ran a terrific race in the Preakness. He ran a winning race most years. But I just think that the quality of these older horses is just a bridge too far for him. And I don't like where Tis the Law drew. I've, you know, written multiple times back in the spring regarding in the Derby prep races that he was running, and that he's always been ridden with the intent of trying to get outside of horses to get his best chance. And I just don't see drawn in post two how that's going to play out. Not only for him to get outside, but to accomplish that, and then to still hold off Improbable and Maximum Security and Tom's D'Etat. I think it's a lot to ask from where he's going to have to go from, and what's going to be required early to get in position that he needs to get in, I think, to run his best race. So then it comes down, for me, to the older horses, and I just think Improbable's gone to a new level this year. From, you know, he's a good 3-year-old. He's an exceptional 4-year-old. He's won 3 straight grade 1 races. He's got the kind of speed that you can put him in position early to stalk, or if they go too fast like they did last time, he can lay back and blast home. You know, the two things that are, or you know, the one thing that can get him beat is him. He can be a complete nutcase in the gate, and if he acts up tomorrow and he gets off poorly, that is going to be a compromising situation against a field of this quality. But I think if everybody runs their best race, I think he wins. Maximum Security, I think, is really capable of a bounce-back effort. He was caught up in that pace last time in the Awesome again, and he still fought on for second. He obviously is very good at a mile and a quarter. He's finished first in both races that he ran at a mile and a quarter. But the thing that's intriguing to me is how he's trained coming out of the Awesome again. His works have been really good, and he's, until recently, been a horse that was kind of would go through the motions in the morning. And he's just acting like a horse is coming up to a big effort as well. And I have great respect for Thomas d'Etat. His Whitney was a good performance under extremely adverse conditions with the significant stumble that he took at the start. And his Stephen Foster was outstanding. He beat Improbable earlier this year. They've split their two decisions. And in the Oaklawn Mile, Improbable was out in the parking lot the whole way, and then the Whitney Thomas d'Etat stumbled. So they each had, I thought, excuses in the two times they ran against one another. And I think he's on the same level as Improbable and Maximum Security. So I think it comes down to those three. And I think one of them is going to win. I give the slight nod to Improbable.
And you made the point leading in here. Could tell that you were really impressed with Maximum Security's focus and the way in which he's been turned into a horse that takes efforts in the morning seriously, and that weighed with me. That was about 10 days ago or last weekend, I think. Jay, you sent a missive out that hit home.
he's trained extremely well, and he'll run a big race. He'll make his presence felt.
Well, those are the two races that Jay is covering per se. But Jay, it is a little different this year because typically, you're here for close to a fortnight or wherever we might be, and you have a chance to latch on to some streaking comets that catch your eye. Any other pushes for the weekend?
Well, going back to the Dirt Mile, I mean, I really am a big fan of Nick's Go, and Sharp Samurai, I think, is going to be a price. And if they run 1-2, I'll have a winning weekend because that'll be among the more significant races that I'll be involved in. So that's one. But right off the bat today, I like Into the Sunrise in the Turf Sprint. I like the horse cutting back in distance. I was very encouraged that Mike Welsh gave him a big push in the workout report as well. Obviously he's got to beat his stablemate Golden Pal, who's a deserving favorite in here, but I think the cutback from a fast-paced two-turn race that he was in last time to this makes him an intriguing gamble in here. So that's one race I'm going to be involved in right off the bat. It's probably the biggest, I'll probably be involved in that race more than any race for today. That'll be the one race I'm involved in the most. I'll save a few more shekels for tomorrow.
Interesting. And I kind of didn't know what to do when I got to Into the Sunrise. I mean, Wesley had so many bodies in the pre-entries, and at first he was a horse that was I think the first of the not selecteds, and sometimes they get a little glossed over. I mean, it turns out, in fact, that I think at least three, right? Dirty Dangle, Windy City Red, and Into the Sunrise all end up getting into the race. And even further down now with Blame the Booze getting an opportunity. But Into the Sunrise, Rafi Bayerano, I tell you, Wesley Ward, we don't talk about this enough, Jay. Wesley hands out assignments to a lot of riders that, and as a jock himself, starting his career, I love what he does. And then he makes sure that certain people get opportunities on his horses, which is really admirable.
Absolutely. I mean, Bejarano, Corrales, riding Blame the Booze. Blame the Booze getting in as a horse I'm going to be using in my Exacta boxes. Because, Wesley had the three AEs for this race. And, he could have managed the scratchings of this to get any of them in, obviously.
True.
So this is the one he wants in. And he's coming out of the same race as the horse that I like best. So, and, you know, they were both in the same kind of situation last time of being, you know, on or near the pace in a fast-paced two-turn race, and now they're cutting back. So, and, well, you know, a horse like this often gets overlooked in the wagering because they're a late addition to the body of the field. So he's absolutely a use for me in the gimmicks.
I'm glad we landed on this. I mean, it's only, this race is literally 4 hours away, and so a lot of people might not hear this until after the fact. But there was added intrigue in this circumstance. Nice, Julio Garcia, another guy that getting opportunities with Wesley Ward. Jay, fabulous coverage as always, no matter where you are, can be counted on. The national correspondent of the Daily Racing Form, everybody, DRF Privman, and make sure you're following Jay closely throughout the weekend. Jay, we'll recap it and start to look ahead to the Bing season at Del Mar when we talk next week.
Very good, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. Jay Privman, everybody. Outstanding. And Rick Hammerly standing by. And we're going to not only get Hammer in here at the midway point, about 95 minutes in, and 85 minutes to come. Oh, that didn't sound good. It's either Hammer. Is that Hammer or Jimmy? Or just...
It's me. Hey, Steve.
There you go. How you doing?
You know, all right. It's kind of weird. I should sit in the back office here. I should either be sitting with you or Jimmy or both. You know, it's the same way for a lot of people, you know. Sitting at home instead of being at the track. But, you know what? It's probably a day that we never thought we'd see in March and April when we were scrambling to make cards everywhere. So this is kind of a cool day for horse racing people. That it's like the Miracle Breeders' Cup, and it's a good one. So it's been pretty good. Getting ready and numbers and horses and you name it. It's all over the place here, all over the counter. So it's still fun. It's just different not handicapping with friends and sitting around till 2 a.m. and, you know, going over races. But we imagine we eventually get there to go over them, and guess what? We'll all get our bets in.
Exactly. Let me say good morning and welcome in Jimmy Ventura. Jimmy.
Good morning. I'm actually in an Uber driving down to Bobby's house. I'm gonna watch the Breeders' Cup with him. And actually, we're going to be celebrating Crabsgiving, where I ship in stone crabs, and we'll be eating stone crabs today and tomorrow, and some other things that he'll cook up, and be wagering on the Breeders' Cup. As Hammer said, it's great that we're actually having one.
Exactly right, it is. Very frequently, one of the highlights of any season is when the two of you, you know, come ambling up at Belmont or Santa Anita, and we sit down and talk about whatever big weekend, Belmont Stakes, Derby, everything. I mean, Churchill, we've done it for 15 years, essentially, and we're doing it now. Let's get a feel, and Jimmy, before I do anything else, everything's okay?
Yep.
You know, what the real estate situation has got to be a little wacky in Manhattan and
yeah, Byron's. Luckily, I sell a lot of net lease real estate throughout the country, so, you know, the New York market, from the buying side, maybe they're not deploying their funds everywhere else, but so far so good. I can't complain from the business perspective, and thank God, you know, things are okay in the city. It's not as dire as, you know, one would think.
Well, and it's good because you know, here at Keeneland, they said when you get Ventura on, make sure he's going to be okay for, you know, the next sales opportunity. They want to make sure you're whole. Let's before we dive into Saturday, and I really am trying to concentrate on Saturday, not spend too much time on Friday. But let's get a quick survey of Friday opinions. Hammer, run quickly through your thoughts on this card.
All right, well, quickly, early, a couple races beforehand. I really like this horse, Tayshaun, coming back second race on the turf for Richard Baltus in the third. Like, one of the toughest races on the card. I know it's weird to pick one in there, but was anxious to see him run on the turf the first time. He really took to it. And so coming back second time, I think the price is going to be something good. And in the fifth race, the long race, the marathon, the horse that won out here for Craig DeLossi, Cupid's Claws, super easy victory. I think they found a niche for this horse, won the Tokyo City, so coming back there. So those are the couple horses I'm gonna key on. Those first five races are almost, they're like mini Breeders' Cup races. So take a stand there. Not gonna get too crazy, but early on. And then as we head into the Breeders' Cup, it's funny, got a bunch of numbers here anymore. That's all we've come down to. You know, it's either you're all in on Golden Pal, or you're gonna take a shot with some closers. Or a little bit of a mix. I mean, he looks super out of the gate. A couple closers in there. I'm going to take a look at Cowan, who seems to fit this race a little bit. After five, I know it's a maiden, Wesley Ward, another closer, closed in on second of July. And you know what? And second of July as well. If the field gets stuffed up, I think these three closers have a chance. Heading into this seventh race, you want me to go all of them and then hit Jimmy, or you want to go race by race?
No, run right through it. I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Yeah. Okay, so then we're into the seventh race. This is going to be a little Euro action in here. I do like New Mandate as one of the Euros. Now, interestingly enough, the horse on the outside, the Learjet, beat Golden Pal a few races back. Got a little back class there. It's going to be a price out there on the outside. I will definitely be using him. And then, of course, Chad Brown's Public Sector. He's always ready for these. And I tell you what, the most impressive race I watched was Chad's Todd's horse, the favorite in the race, a 5-1, just the way he just swooped around the field. So impressive there. Really liked him. The eighth race, got to make a decision here. You in or you out with Princess Noor? I think I'm going to wait a little bit. I like the two big peak horses, Simply Ravishing. If he gets loose and on the lead, he goes. Crazy Beautiful, it runs much better off the pace. Last time it was a little slow, so she had to get up there. I think she's got a little bit there. If it gets a little crazy up front, I like Crazy Beautiful to maybe pick him up later, but I like the two McPeak horses in there. The ninth race, the Aunt Pearl, they're talking about, you know, is almost unbeatable. So I will look at her. I like Miss Amulet as one of the Europeans in there. And Campanile, Wesley Ward's horse. You just can't leave him out of these turf races. I know they were looking forward to this race since they won that race in France. So those are a few there. And one other one that I want to throw in there is the Spanish Love Affair, Mark Cassie, who sneakily has won 2 out of 3 and finished a nice second to Aunt Pearl. Might get lost in the wagering. I like her a little bit in the last race. You know, you got the two. You got Reinvestment Risk and Jackie's Warrior. I don't think you take one without the other. And as a bomb in there, our friend Michael McCarthy, Ron Bauer, sneakily ran a good race last time. I know the race wasn't loaded or anything like that. Spielberg came back and won and handily the other day. But Ron Bauer, if there's going to be a little bit of a meltdown, you know what? Michael's had a great year this year, and I can see this run running a big one at a big number at the end. So right now, that's what we're looking at, and for today,
Jimmy Ventura.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm going to go all in on Princess Noor. I think that you've got a square price on her. You know, of the undefeated horses, she's you know, the one that has the slowest speed figures, et cetera, but I'm still going to give her a shot, and I think you get, you know, probably the 9-5, 2-1 on her. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of these races are tough, and from versus a selection standpoint, I think the 10-cent super is going to be my friend. The way that I play, I'll put a horse first and second, and then put a bunch of horses underneath it. You could put 7 underneath or on top of it in key in one position, and I think it's $21 for a 10-cent bet. So, you know, I have more opinions on, I think, on Saturday. Bell's the one is going to either make me or break me in the Philly and Mare sprint.
Well, that gets us into Saturday then, and let's pick it up from there. And Jimmy, go on with it a little bit. Why don't you talk about you're saying Gamine in the Philly and Mare Sprint? Maybe go up three races: the Turf Sprint, the Dirt Mile, and the Philly and Mare Turf.
The Dirt Mile is really, really super tough race the way I'm looking at it. There's so many horses in there. Right now I'm going to take a shot and get a big price on the fence with Art Collector. So again, it's a tough one. If Hammer could roll with a few of the selections, I'm just getting out of this Uber and I'll be able to read everything in a second. If that's okay, Hammer, could you roll with it?
Sure, go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead, Rick. The Philly Mare Sprint, like you said, another tough one. I think there's going to be some action on the front end. Kind of like Come Dancing a little bit, believe it or not. I like the style. They think after last year, they said, you know what? After the Apple Blossom thing, you know, let's go for this thing. And she came back. We know she can run fast. I think she's going to be a price. I like her a little bit. I like Speech, and I like of all the Gamines and of the world, I like Serengeti Impress a little bit better than that. And for that race, the mile, which is just, I guess like we were talking about, this is the right thing for the mile. The classic's full of right horses, the sprint's full of the right horses, and this is the overload. These horses don't belong in either race, they belong here, and it's really come together. A couple of goofball horses in there, I call them. Sharp Samurai, Turf Specialist, best number on the dirt. Mark knows this horse is sharp and said, you know what, let's try it. And that one dirt recency is okay with me. So I like him. Go, Knicks, go. You can't ignore it. I mean, the horse just ran through the TV last time, and you know he's going to be on the engine. And it's one of those things where maybe you single him or go with some other one. But I like him a little bit. And Pirate Punch and Mr. Freeze are the ones that intrigue me in there. In the Philly and Mare Turf, Ternava would have been nice in here, but she went the other way. I'm going to go with one of the Europeans in there, Adoria. Adoria, I think, I don't know. Rushing Falls, the horse to beat. Just a little bit longer. She's going to be the one, but I'm going to look and try and beat her. I know she's going to have a great trip behind Mean Mary. Adoria and the horse on the Philly on the outside, Cayenne Pepper. I like the way they're coming into it. European wise, we go to the boys sprint here, and I'll tell you what, this is a tough race. I have down 2-8, 11-13. I got to look and see who they are now. Ren's Fire, Diamond Ops, and you know what? This goofball horse from Japan. I've seen it too many times. We know our horses look. I'm going to throw this horse in as an absolute bomb in a couple of tickets. And like Jimmy said, you know, it's tough to bet win on some of this stuff. And so I'm a rolling pick three guy, so I'm able to spread a little bit when I can. And you mentioned earlier with the 50-cent ticket, if you can narrow one or two down, you're able to spread on the other side. And as you're going along, you know, if you're live, you can keep building on that, take a few more. So I'm a rolling pick. European in there. Uni sneakily coming into this in good fashion. And you know what? Sneakily Raging Bull's in there. I haven't heard a word about him. All he does is you know, run some good races. He's won at Keeneland. He loves the mile. And he's out there in the 14-hole. He's going to be a great price for that. And in the Classic, you know, I have 3689. The 2689. And a little bit. Winners here, and
you believe a little bit in that Philly and Mare turf. I mean, it's
what's not to like.
Got a shot, yep. In that seventh. I think that she's, you know, more than capable, and you're going to get paid a good price on it. And being Cone's horse, I think he's got a pretty good shot. And again, it's, you know, super tough. And then in the turf, the Breeders' Cup turf, I like the Euro Lord North. You know, he looks pretty damn tough the way I look at it.
Hammer?
You can tell we didn't study together because we all...
Really? That's for sure, right?
I mean, usually we're drinking at the same time, so by default, we just end up on the same horse.
Yeah, it is a different way.